Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. This month of January, we're exploring spiritual lineage from many different aspects. And I've really enjoyed the last two interviews. They've taken me into other realms, other worlds, and given me a real direction into mystery. And at the same time, I realize that there's mystery right here, in the sense that Wanya Tuan told me many, many, many years ago, she said, you know, the royalty of the countries in Europe that have kings and queens and royal families, they know what lineage is about. And I have to say that they may have an understanding about what lineage is about from their own personal perspective, but I find, as I read magazines and newspapers and talk to people, excuse me, that royalty sometimes is a mystery to even those in the country. What does spiritual lineage mean? Does the royal house of these European countries, do they represent a kind of spiritual essence of the country itself? Is it the country as an entity, or is it the actual culture? And I'm hoping that we can at least explore some of these questions because, you know, I spent a lot of time in Australia, and there is always this question between stepping out and becoming independent of the Commonwealth and staying in and recognizing the Queen. And it's a very interesting conversation. I found that I couldn't take sides because I could understand both sides of the question and both arguments. And I really appreciated the passion that was happening with all of the different conversations I was in. So today I have with me Kate Jones. She's lives in England, right on the borderland of England and Wales. And this is our third interview with Kate. The first one was about public practice, which she is still very much involved in. The second was about her own healing process. I think the interview was in August, seems like. And now she's with me here in Arizona. She's came over from England to be my minder, or to take care of me and give me Reiki in person during my chemotherapy practice. And I thought, what a great chance for me to interview someone who lives in England, and I have no idea what her position is on royalty, so we're going to find out. This is kind of a blind interview. So welcome to the program, Kate.
Thank you very much, Phyllis.
So, just a little rundown for the people who would like to know where you've come from as far as Reiki.
My lineage.
Yeah, your lineage.
Well, I was initiated by a Reiki master called Martha Sylvester, who lives in London. I met her in Birmingham in 1989 and was initiated into first degree there. Her Reiki master was Wanya Tuan, who you just mentioned, who, of course, was initiated by your grandmother.
Uh-huh. Right.
I did my first degree in 89, as I said. My second degree I did later that year. I was in a real hurry once I'd discovered Reiki. And I became a master a few years later at the end of 1991.
Great. Well, and here we are.
And here we are.
And here we are. So just for fun, let's start with... So where are you?
In terms of royalty. Yeah, well.
And have you ever thought about royalty in relationship to lineage and so on, and in your understanding of lineage?
Mm. Well, I think you're probably right that as a British person, the royal lineage is very much part of who I am, in a sense. I did history at school, and a lot of what we learned about in history was the line of kings and queens and how they became to be king and queen and so on and so forth. And what we also learned was their feeling of divine right, they actually did have a spiritual aspect to holding that position, if you like. Particularly after Henry VIII, who actually became head of the church in right. the UK. So he was not only the king, as in the ruler of the country, and at that time he had the absolute power, he was also in absolute power in terms of the spiritual life of the British people right. as head of the church.
Right, but that came as kind of one of his personal quirks of really wanting to have a son, no?
Yeah, it was, it was his own way of manipulating the situation so that he could try and... But it was about creating a successor, uh-huh. because at that time a boy was what was wanted in terms of having a successor. Uh-huh. A girl was not seen as good. The lineage had to pass down the male line as much as possible. So he made tremendous attempts in order to have a son so that he could pass on his lineage
uh-huh.
To a son.
Well, interestingly enough, we could say in our new age genre that he should have accepted what was coming.
Exactly. Look at the trouble because, he got yeah. into. And all the poor women who were either divorced, beheaded, or died as
right.
a result.
And... Yeah, but then he created the Anglican Church.
Exactly, yes. And he did have a son who also died, interestingly, very young. And then, of course, we had this amazing queen who came afterwards, his Elizabeth I. And, you know, yes, an amazing, amazing lineage. Yes.
Oh, fascinating.
So, for me, I suppose that's my first... experience of lineage is that royalty, that's the royal lineage and how it was passed down. And it taught me about the importance of passing something on from one generation to the other.
Uh-huh. So what is your opinion about the royal house now? Excuse me, not about the house itself or the people involved, but do you feel like they really hold an essence of the United Kingdom that... would be missed?
I think
if they were
they
not
yeah, I
there.
Think, I think probably that's true. I mean, if you look at how the nation responded when Princess Diana died, she was somebody who was held in very high esteem in a lot of people's lives. She was a kind of a model or a figurehead, and still is, actually. I mean, she still holds a very special place in the British people's hearts. And it is probably going to be one of her sons who will succeed the throne fairly soon, you know, once the present monarch passes on. Charles may well inherit, but it will soon be one of Diana's children who is the mm-hmm. monarch. And I think that is a real focus for the British people, yes.
Mm-hmm. But what is can you describe this essence? Or have you ever imagined what would happen if somehow they... I don't know how you dissolve a monarchy. You can't really vote them out of office.
You can't, no. They would
have to decide, I think, probably, because...
They would have to abdicate
the whole lineage, all the relatives
would all have to agree that there wasn't going to be a monarchy anymore, or they would have to accept the decision of the people that there wasn't going to be a monarchy anymore, I suppose, because... If one of the current royal family were to decide to abdicate, there would be other relatives who would probably step up and say, "Well, it's my go then. it's down to me."
Right.
Because there are so many people who count, who know their lineage and know that they are related to the royal line. So I mean, there is protection not just for the immediate family, but also for the relatives, you know,
uh-huh.
the cousins and
right.
the so on, because it could be any one of them. Say this current generation were to be killed in a plane crash or something, then, you know, people know who would come next.
Right.
It's, you know, it's all done through the bloodline, but So I think the monarchy is still really strong in the British psyche. I know there are people who think that it's not a good idea because it costs a lot of money and so on, but for me, there is an energetic, if you like, side to it. It is that mysterious
uh-huh.
side and that I appreciate, and I think some people, if you look on the very practical level, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But in terms of part of our identity, I suppose, as a country.
Yes.
And And part of the definition of who we are and how we behave as a culture as well. I mean, our current queen has, she acted as a role model through the Second World War and the years after that, and continues to do so, I think, in some ways.
Oh, she's an amazing woman.
She is.
Really an amazing woman.
And so is her mother.
Yes, Queen Mum was very beloved.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, very dear. And it was like she was anybody's grandma who needed one.
Right. Interesting. But it seems that, I guess for me, it's interesting to also look, as an American kind of cruising through all these European countries, it's kind of interesting because, of course, Germany has the vestiges of their class system, but their monarchy is gone.
Mm.
And yet in Holland, for instance, in the Netherlands, their relationship with their queen and the royal family is very different than in England, in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
In the UK, I don't know, somehow there's always this contentious sort of energy, around them, where in the Netherlands it seems like they are truly beloved.
Mm.
And they have this kind of, feeling, and also in Sweden, which is where Wanya's from.
Mm.
So she really feels this energy of lineage and tried to explain it to me at one point.
Yes, I could imagine.
And I didn't get it, at all, because, at that point I was an American, a monarchy was totally, ridiculous.
Yes.
And I liked it for the romance, but as I've traveled and as I've gotten to know the cultures, I see that there is something inexplicable that happens to a country when their spiritual holder isn't there anymore.
Mm.
And the United States was emancipated itself from the queen, some hundreds of years ago, I think over 200 years ago, if my history is correct. And, here we are floundering around, and I think that not to separate people in politics, but just as a general feeling for myself, it's that I, as an American, cling to the Declaration of Independence as kind of the spiritual nugget, of our country.
Mm.
And I feel that it is an incredibly mystical document.
Mm.
But what happens when there are no people to hold this document?
Mm.
And one of the things that is really rife within a lot of the conversations that I've had, anyway, probably these are people that I also attract, because this is my own thing, is that, it used to be that there were people, either the president or somebody in the country, that would kind of personify that connection with the Declaration of Independence.
Mm.
And I think Barack Obama is trying to keep that connection or maybe fan the flame of nurturing that connection. And it's very difficult because we've grown so distant from it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see it as a little bit of a similar fate with the royal family in England, somehow the general population has sort of commonized the monarchy so much that their question is, well, is it relevant? And it's the same for the Declaration of Independence. Is it relevant in the year 2010?
Mm.
And I would say, as a part of our soul, it's totally relevant. In fact, it's kind of a piece of our essence.
Mm.
And if we really discard it, then I feel like we're really putting ourselves into a separate place. Mm. And I'm just wondering, into a separation that may actually be fatal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
As we try to rejoin our soul individually, that's what I'm doing now, trying to open myself to my spiritual part of myself and get out of my mind more, so on, that I'd find this struggle personified somehow
yes.
in me.
Yes.
So
yes.
do you yeah. connect with this at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, one of the things that I was thinking about when you were talking is that we've had this question of whether to go to join the euro or to mm-hmm. keep the British pound. And one of the things that's very common is for people to say, well, if we went into the euro, we wouldn't have the Queen's head on our money anymore. And that feels really significant to people. And so it is like she is a figurehead and she holds this mystical place, because there's no real reasoning about that.
No.
And I think that became really clear with the reaction to Diana's death, that it just took over the country in a way that was completely unexpected. And I think you're right. I mean, one of the things that I'm aware of is that, say, 40, 50 years ago, our country was far more Christian-based. It was
right.
far more spiritual. And the Queen absolutely made sense as a part of that whole structure, if you like.
Right.
And as
and is she still the head of the church?
I'm not actually sure. I mean, there are archbishops and so on who are really head of.
But I wonder if she is a titular head of the church.
Yeah, like she is of the government in right. in theory, but
yeah.
actually with no power.
Right.
So
I know this particular conundrum really well.
Yeah. So I think one of the things is that as we've become a more secularized society,
right.
the role of the Queen has become less understandable to people
right.
in general, because they've become more divorced from their spiritual lives.
Right.
However, I think one of the things that's happening is that, you know, people are feeling there's something missing. There is something that they've lost from
right.
losing a spiritual aspect of their lives, because people don't go to church anymore. So they're looking for spirituality in other ways. And for me, yes, she does hold a, you know, something of that spirituality. It's in a particular form. And yeah, I mean, I just have a sense that it's difficult putting these mysterious things into words, but it's like the lineage holds an energy, and the same is true of the Queen, I think, holding an energy for our country.
Uh-huh.
And I think she holds that. She sees that as her responsibility. She sees herself as being in public service, holding a particular place of office. Of you know, she has duty. She has a responsibility, and the responsibility is to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she holds that as in a very conscious way, and I think that's one of the things that makes her such a good queen. She holds that very consciously, and therefore that kind of creates a space within which our country has its life, almost,
mm-hmm.
if that makes
mm-hmm.
any sense.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
Well, it's interesting then to come to people who contact something like Reiki or martial arts or something that comes out of the Orient and has this built within it a kind of spiritual lineage of the practice.
Mm.
And I see that some people, you know, in my conversations with them, have a really interesting, dilemma, I would call it. I have other more complicated words, but I think it's a dilemma. It's like, if Reiki is about spirit, then aren't all the initiations spiritual, which I feel like they are at least a spiritual experience, if not mystical experience. And the initiations connect us to Reiki, which is the central core energy of the universe. So as a lineage bearer, it's very interesting for people to see me as a human being and also to hold me as a lineage bearer. And I think that there are two things. One is that some people are rejecting the Queen or rejecting the monarchy as a lineage, and so they come into Reiki and then all of a sudden they find out there's this lineage and they don't want it, so they, you know, they find a practice of Reiki that doesn't have lineage.
Right.
And then they don't, and then some of them don't know what to do with me.
Yes.
So I become irrelevant, mm-hmm. which is fine for me if that's true for them. But then what happens with me and what happens in my relationship and in my conversations with some of these students that have been very interesting is that, well, how can I recognize you, yet I don't want to have a lineage because I don't want anybody over me?
Mm.
And, you know, there are all these different questions that come up, and I think that somehow it's they're really basic questions of our of this great paradox that we are individuals and yet we are one, and somehow we live this out also in our relationship with lineage. You know, whether it's our family lineage or our spiritual lineage or our country's royal lineage, there's some thing that confronts us, you know, somehow in a way to how can we be individuals and be our own person, make our own decisions, and yet somehow hold another person in this other place. Like, that's just so difficult. Any comments?
Well, one of the things that I see, for me, lineage isn't about having somebody over me, it's about having somebody supporting me. So I can understand people's, I mean, it's in order to be individuals, sometimes people have needed to kick against authority or whatever, I guess. So for me, that's not what lineage is about. It's not about somebody who has authority. It's about someone who supports this practice, if you like, is a teacher. But that I don't see that as in an authoritarian way, personally. I see it as a gift and something that helps me to grow. So someone who is a lineage bearer for me is someone who holds that space, just like the Queen holds the space for the British public to have our identity, that that you hold the space for us to practice this system of, or this way of doing healing, if you like. So I think sometimes people need to work through finding their own authority and being safe in that. And sometimes when that's happening, it gets projected onto you, perhaps, that difficulty with authority. But for me, personally, I've learned to surrender to guidance, to the greater mystery. And that doesn't mean that I'm not also autonomous and have my own individuality. But I actually find that I don't have to do it alone. That's the point. Because I've chosen a particular system of practice, this Reiki, that is a lot about support and you know, receiving the support that I might need, and for me the lineage is an important part of that. So I don't just feel your support as a lineage, your current lineage bearer, but also that of your grandmother and her teacher Hayashi and Asui himself as well. The support of all those people comes down through the lineage energetically for me.
Well, in your own Reiki lineage, this has been quite another difficult piece sometimes for people, because you were initiated by Martha, who was initiated by Wanya Tuan, and Wanya was initiated by my grandmother. So Wanya and I actually were both initiated by my grandmother. And then I somehow was recognized as a lineage bearer, and Wanya actually recognizes me. But it was very confusing, I think, in the early days for people, because then there's Wanya, and what happens with Wanya, and how, you know, how does this whole thing work out? So I know that there were a lot of questions. I couldn't explain it. Wanya couldn't explain it. Particularly well. And which was amazing because she always has really good explanations for lots of unknown things. And there was always this kind of tension between Wanya and I for a long time. And
yes.
in the last few years, that has mellowed out considerably because now I trust in her support of me, which I has never faltered through the whole thing, I have to say. And at the same time, she felt that she had communicated clearly to her students, but her students were confused because it's the same thing. You know, where is the lineage, and why isn't my initiation from Wanya a spiritual lineage? And, you know, so I'm just wondering, were you ever in that situation?
I've never been confused about that at all.
No?
No. No, for me... And I think probably meeting you was meeting you in person helped. I don't think it ever was a question for me anyway. It was really clear that there was the spiritual lineage, and then there was also a different kind of lineage, which was my teaching lineage, which is through Wanya. So I can't say why. I guess so, because of the way that Martha must have been clear when she taught me. Certainly I have heard Martha talking about what Wanya was told by your grandmother, and about some of the conversations in the early days when you were first recognized. But it's just like Wanya was really clear that you were, you had this special position. So Martha was, and I am, and always have been. And then, as I say, when I first, you know, sat in the same room as you, I could also feel that on an energetic level, that I felt there was a particular energy that you carried that was different from what other Reiki masters, even Takata's masters, carry.
Excuse me. So I feel that this brings us then to a question of, you know, well, it's really interesting. Going back to the royalty, if we can use that as kind of a protection screen, I think that one of the things that has been, it would be very stressful for me, I have to say, and perhaps I'm projecting my stress onto the Queen, that when she was born and raised and trained in this for this position, there were a set of values and a set of behaviors and a set of understandings that have remained with her. And many people have said that those are now outdated and they're not appropriate and they're not actually valid anymore, which is really difficult to be told that you're not valid. I mean, it's kind of strange. And there has always been, for me, this interesting dynamic, because I wasn't consciously anyway trained from childhood to do this, and when I stepped into it, I felt a little bit like a person being thrown, a baby being thrown into the sea and told to swim or else. And luckily I had lots of people, the other masters that my grandmother initiated, to bail me out and to give me advice and so on, and to actually hold the energy with me. And I've always felt that. I've always felt that I'm not the one and only, that I actually am a part of a circle of the masters initiated by Hawaii Otakata, and that I was chosen as, for instance, a kind of spokesperson.
Exactly.
For this, for that particular circle. And some people had other values than I did, which were, which was difficult in our, you know, interpersonal relationship. But it created sometimes a confusion about, do they recognize me or not? And if they don't like what I'm doing, do they withdraw their recognition? And that was very interesting. But now I feel like we've all settled down into understanding that it's not about personality. So then I have to come to the question for myself, what are my values? What are my, what's my understanding of who I am as a lineage bearer? And what are my duties, so to speak? And do I need to fit them into what people one, or do I fit them, or do I stand on my own, right? So I find this to be, you know, very interesting questions, especially now that I have time during my therapy time to contemplate these and to see in the past 30 years how this whole thing has developed, right? So when did you first meet me?
I would say 1994
or
95, maybe.
So maybe 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So have you seen a shift in this process for yourself, or do you, what were your impressions?
In the process of...
Of me being, you know, the lineage bearer, and what did that mean, and what was your, did you have expectations?
Right, I guess, I mean, I'd had previous experience of lineage through Tai Chi, and before that, I actually was, I have great respect for a theatre director called Peter Brook, who I feel is a very spiritual person, and I heard him talk about, if you want to learn Tai Chi, make sure you have somebody in a good lineage, and make sure you have a lineage that goes back to China. So the concept of having a lineage that gave a certain connection was there before I came to Reiki. And then I did find a teacher who had a good lineage, who had a lineage of back to a teacher in China. And so that aspect of lineage was already a part of my consciousness, I suppose, before I came to Reiki. So when I came to Reiki, when I did my first degree, I was taught about the lineage, and I simply accepted it. So I simply accepted that there were these people, three people who had died, and then there was this person who was alive, and that was the current lineage bearer, or whatever word we use. I think we use the word grandmaster in those days. So I didn't have any problem with that. I simply accepted that that's who you were. But I didn't really have a lot of concept of what that meant, more than that you were a living figurehead, I suppose, for this particular practice. And yes, I have, over the years, got to know you much better and seen you grow and develop, I think, in... how can I describe it? Well, it's been a deepening, and I think probably... And I have a sense of you thrashing around a bit, trying to decide, trying to know what your role was in the early days. And as time has gone on, I've seen you mature and become more grounded in what you're... And also more... confident that this was a role you were meant to be holding. I think there was still, I still felt there was some doubt in your mind, perhaps in those early days. It was almost like you were defending it a little, you know, the position. When I actually came to meet you and hear you talk, it was like, yeah, I'm here because I'm meant to be, but I have to convince you of this. But now I feel much less that you have less need to do that. You simply have begun to be able to simply hold the role without needing to talk about it so much, perhaps. And also just having a greater sense of purpose, I suppose, about what you need to do, what you need to do in your role. And my sense is that the next step is what you were just talking about earlier, about less trying to be more in the aware of the spiritual aspect and how it would be just to be and not to do. Because for me, that's all you have to do for me as the lineage bearer is be the lineage bearer. And that means you just do what you do, and but you do it in a way that maintains the practice. So I think you've done an amazing job in educating about the Usui system that your grandmother passed on to us, and you've helped create a lot of clarity and amongst confusion that there was, that grew up as the different styles of Reiki began to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And you've held this really wonderful still place. It's been a really, really great place of stillness, saying it's just been maintaining this is the practice, this is the practice, this is the practice. And that's been really beautiful. And so it's like the beginning of the turning of a wheel. Now that's beginning to gain momentum now.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other people who are able to say with the same clarity and certainty that you had right from the beginning, because you received it from your grandmother and the other Tathagata masters, this is the practice. This is what we hold to if this is how we want to practice Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And also holding open arms as well to people who practice in different ways. And mm-hmm. I've learned a lot from you about that, which I think has been so important. The non-judgment and inclusiveness of mm-hmm. people who are practicing Reiki in different ways. So, as I say, now the wheel is already turning, and there are other people who are turning it as well as you. And Paul has had his important role as well in that. So I actually had an insight the other day that perhaps there's you created this thing called the OGM, and I wonder whether that's actually becoming something separate from this role of lineage bearer, that the lineage bearer holds the essence, and that this maybe this other thing called the OGM or something similar that continues with the educational work and holds that, keeping the wheel turning, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Yes. That's an evolving thing that really is a mystery to me.
Mm.
Yeah. One of the things that has been really disappointing for me is that as a quasi-business person, I've really gained a lot from organizations in my life. Like I was a Girl Scout for years and years and years, and I feel like that organization, I really wanted to work for the Girl Scouts when I got out of school, but I applied and they turned me down, and I couldn't see another opening, and then I got into Reiki and that was it. So then I thought, you know, I had experienced the efficiency, what I would call, of organization, and how people could be drawn together by having a clear organizational structure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I tried to do that,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the Reiki community, and mm-hmm. it didn't work.
Mm.
So it's been one of my really interesting, I would say, crosses to bear, that in different ways I've tried to approach organization, and individually and collectively, parts of the community have just said absolutely not, and I find that the organizations that are in existence, like the Reiki Alliance and the Reiki Foundation and the Reiki Association, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of which you are a part, that there's always a struggle about how much organization is okay, and if it's too much, and then who gets to, you know, be the guide? Who gets to make, you know, community decisions? Why doesn't the community get to make their own decisions? And it goes on and on and on. And it's very, very interesting for me. It's like I constantly ask myself these days the question, is organization as we know it, you know, in our world today, is this an antithesis to natural order? So organization and order, though they might come vaguely from the same root, I don't know. There's a natural order to things. That's, for me, the essence of Reiki, is it puts, you know, our lives in its natural order. And we start to understand that we have a natural order to our lives and can accept it. But does organizations come in and step in and block that? Or is it an antithesis to living natural order? You know, so it's very interesting because tribal community was a kind of organization, very, very clear organization with very clear values and so on. And they maintained themselves for millions of, you know, not millions, but thousands of years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just wondering, I wonder about that, and now after 30 years, I'm really ready to give it up, in a sense that I just have to see what the collective, you know, what these groups of people who collect together every year, what is their purpose?
Yes.
Maybe their purpose is really just to collect.
Yes, yes. Well, as you mentioned, I'm in the Reiki Association. I'm on the council at the moment, and we're actually trying to guide the Reiki Association through an interesting sort of stage of transformation and change. Everything just about fell apart not long ago, and there was nobody willing to stand for council to carry things forwards. There was a working group was set up, and their suggestion was to wind up the legal structure of the organisation and just be this kind of informal collective. Now, personally, I had a sense that a good structure can support a really good community, a good sense of community, and that really, I just had this real flash of insight that what our community is about is connection. And because it's Reiki, it's about spiritual connection as well as personal connection. So the more that we can actually build that into the structures or the kind of business structures, if you like, of the organisation and the way that we do things, then perhaps that'll be more successful. I can't tell you what the outcome of the experiment is yet because we're still in the middle of it. But what we're doing is really trying to let Reiki guide us a lot in how we recreate the structure that's falling apart. We're trying to improve and make sure that communication is really key. I think one of the things that you will find in any tribal communities, they have really good communication.
Yes.
So that for me is fundamental to having a successful organisation. So that's really key in creating the structures that we need is to create good communication paths. Mm-hmm. And that's both between ourselves, who are at the moment guiding the association or looking after its day-to-day needs, if you like, between us, and also between the members, between each other and between us and the members.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually done things like asking the members what they want for the first time in years by doing a survey, which was done mostly online, but if people couldn't do it online, they did it through on paper. And we had a great response from that and have a better idea of what people out there are wanting. And, you know, in our meetings, when we have a question about where we should go, we stop and send a distant Reiki treatment. And it's really been amazing the kind of images and guidance that we've received that's helped us to move forwards in a really positive way and feeling that we're supported in what we're doing, not just by, you know, it's not just coming out of our heads, it's coming from tapping into a greater connection, if you like. It's almost like a way of connecting with our members as well through the Reiki. So it does feel like a more organic kind of connection through the organisation. And I mean, I have to pay tribute to Mark Silver, who's taught me a lot about incorporating a spiritual aspect into very sound business sense. Because he's taught me, on a personal level, I've learned about running my own kind of business as a Reiki master and practitioner in a way that feels really wholesome to me, because it's about continually reconnecting with Source, with Reiki, being willing to receive guidance, being willing to listen to my body as to what needs to be done now, being willing to let things go if they're just not going, which is all part of spiritual practice. And so actually to apply that in a practical way to first of all to my business, and now we're trying to also apply it to the association, It's really interesting, and so far it seems to be going really well. And a lot of it is about letting go, because and personally I was the administrator for the Reiki Association for 12 years, during which time I did a lot of organising, and I did set up a lot of structures that were a lot of them based on, you know, business lines as I understood them. But it was on a very mental level.
Mm-hmm.
And what I feel I'm doing now is actually undoing a lot of that and freeing up a lot of those structures that I helped to create, so that we have less rigidity, and it also feels like it's less fearful. You know, we're trying to create a structure that's based on trust, communication, and Reiki.
Uh-huh, great. Well, you know, it's interesting that we've gotten to this place, because, of course, I wasn't planning on talking about this at all, but here we are. And I feel that in the first 30 years that... that's how I've lived my life. But how to communicate how I live my life to others is really difficult. And, you know, in this moment, I just had this kind of flash about, you know, when people come to me for advice, I give them advice according to what I've done. But actually, it's how I've been.
Mm.
And the verbs are really important.
Definitely.
So it's not about how I've organized my classes, it's from where I've organized my classes.
Yes.
And there's it's an important layering system of what to communicate when people come and ask you, well, why can't I organize classes? Or how do you live from Reiki as a Reiki master? And, you know, well, okay, I can say that a part of it, I have a little bit of a head start, so to speak, because I have a wider community, because it's a world community. But on the other hand, there's a part of me that really also recognizes that there is something about me that people are attracted to me and are interested in what I do. And what is the quality of my life that allows people to see through whatever crazy thing I've just done, like dropped a plate on the floor, or, called somebody a shit, or, you know, whatever I've done that's very human.
Yeah.
And they still are interested in knowing about Reiki.
Yeah.
And I can't communicate that yet. So I feel like that's the place where perhaps in letting go of doing it right, so to speak, that I start using the I am words, the I am phrases more, like this is how I am, or this is where I've come from, or you know, in inside of myself. So it's an interesting place. I just find these shifts starting to happen, and they happen on not just what I would call well, I don't have the word right now, but they don't. They happen on a very in a very practical way. You know, like you know, right now, what is my place in the Reiki Alliance, and how can I be the lineage bearer and be a member of the Reiki Alliance? And is are they? Is it an oxymoron? Is it something that I can't really do? Or is it something that is really important that I do? And so this is, you know, these are the kind of questions that I'm kind of mulling over to see what is my duty as the lineage bearer of a practice where this organization of Reiki masters is only a very small percentage of the number of masters that actually practice the system.
Yes. Well, I think one of the exercises I did was taught by Mark Silver that I found so valuable is this dual exercise that he does, which is about finding your personal jewel in the sense that each of us carries a divine quality, and we have that to offer. It's very helpful in terms of recognizing that we're not in competition with each other, because each Reiki practitioner, each Reiki master, they each carry something particular that they're bringing to the world.
Right.
So for you, you obviously carry some very particular quality that, as you say, shines through
when no matter what.
When you shout at people or, you know, have a strop or whatever. Yes, you know, all of that is irrelevant because what you carry and what you bring is something much more precious and much more valuable to people, and they can see through that. And for myself, the more I have been able to recognize and value that quality in myself that I feel that I bring through my Reiki is one way that I bring it, but I do it in all sorts of other ways in my life. The more I've been able to be clear about that, the easier it has become. It's become more conscious, it's become more intentional, and therefore I can do more to nurture that quality and nurture that quality, myself offering that quality in life.
Uh-huh.
And therefore the more joyful my life has become and more satisfying, uh-huh. because I feel I'm fulfilling a purpose that I was sent to do.
Right.
Almost.
Right, right. So. Well, it's interesting because it brings me back again to the royal family, where the queen really is into being. If I think about, somebody said, well, what does she do?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, well, I don't have a clue what she does. I mean, she goes to ceremonies and she goes to presentations and she makes public appearances and she waves to people in a certain way and so on. But she is a being kind of person.
Yes,
huh?
Very much so.
Very much I am.
Yes, yeah.
And Charles, interestingly enough, has become a doing person in his princedom.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, has gone out into making public statements and I can I mean, even now, I just love the furor that happened in England some years ago when Charles was really critical of the way that new suburbs were being developed for the towns and that they were, you know, these kind of American suburbs where people then had to have a car.
Yeah.
They didn't have shops. There was no neighborhood. There was no community. And his, you know, derision about this was really clear, and people felt like he was, number one, putting his foot where he didn't belong. He was saying really crazy stuff that obviously went against the real estate and, you know, all the money developers. And now we know where that's gone, down the tubes.
Yeah.
And and that still is this really interesting conundrum. So my wondering is underneath that, there wasn't some question about his right to step into a dual role, an I am and I do. And what I feel like has been interesting for me, not that I feel like I'm royalty, but just in the process of it, that I've gone from I do, you know, pretty much 100%, to switching that to I am.
Yes.
And that, for me, has really been an amazing transformation, which I'm obviously going through at this very moment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's a really beautiful place for you to be, and I do hope that you will continue to flourish in that, and because I do think it's, I mean, it has its parallel in the Reiki Association, in that the council, which was the figurehead, if you like, for the association and held the energy for the association over years, has become the doing body. It was the group of people who would do all the stuff. And that's one of the things that we are very actively divesting ourselves of. We are, if something needs doing, we go, okay, who can do this? Who do we know in our community who would be really good at doing this? So, and it's very interesting. We had one of these came up recently, and it was so tempting to take it on ourselves because it was such a juicy idea and we had the energy for it and we thought, well, how wonderful. But then I said, wait, no, hang on, we've got other people in our community who can do this and can do it very well. Why don't we ask, you know, such and such to do this? And there was a real struggle, shall we, shan't we? We sent Reiki to it, and the answer came back really clear: let it go, let them do it. Which we did. We gave them the project, we made really clear guidelines, and they've come back with the most wonderful results. So that feels so satisfying, to have been able to let go of this thing we'd really like to have done ourselves.
I know the feeling, yes. Exactly.
So while they were getting on with that, and we would certainly not have completed that project in the time that they got it completed,
uh-huh.
we were able to get on with other things.
Yeah.
And, as I said, it wouldn't have got done in the time
if
we'd tried to do it ourselves. So that feels really healthy, and it feels like we need to do more of that. Uh-huh. So learning to delegate, I think, is another of the arts of a good organisation.
Uh-huh.
And, So, yes, and we've been talking for years about the council becoming more of a being group of people than a doing, you know, being more than doing. And it's somehow we've never quite managed to achieve it, but I feel that I know how we can make that step, having been completely the opposite, having been the doing administrator all those years. I just have a sense, and also it's part of my own personal and spiritual development, and I'm in a place now to be able to be less in control and let go and trust more, have more faith, take more leaps of faith,
mm-hmm.
which means not knowing what the outcome is going to be.
Right. Well, I think we all have to go through a stage, though, of doing that. I mean, I just don't want to leave this conversation, which we need to in a few minutes, with this kind of aura of, you know, what happened before was not good.
Oh, no.
I think what happened before was needed, and now there's a transition, there's a transitory space that's happening for all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I'm fascinated in is that it's happening. No, not just in the association, or it's happening in so many different ways. It's clear that we have moved through and evolved to a certain place where now we're ready to really take the next step. Uh-huh. And I think you're absolutely right that everything that's gone before has led to this, uh-huh. and will lead us forward.
Yeah.
It's been really good, and we've had good lessons.
Great. Me too. Well, Kate, it's our time's up.
Oh.
So we're signing off for now. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Phyllis, for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, and what an interesting conversation. I hope you all, as listeners, found it interesting too. And we'll take it to heart and, I don't know, reflect on it in your own life. That would be great. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.